Hey, everybody, it's Boss Barrel Radio, part 5 of E3 coverage 2015 recap Nintendo press conference that happened on Tuesday, June 16th. I am Griffin Hoffman.
Let's Super Mario.
Yes, let's.
That's my name now. My name is Let's Super Mario.
All right.
Jeff Brewer is dead.
You're sticking with that.
No, I'm Jeff Brewer.
No, but I am you're Let's Super Mario
right now. I'm Let's Super Mario? Okay. First name Let's, last name Mario, middle name Super.
How many of your cats have you dressed up as Mario or Goombas?
I need to get them all in frame at the same time, so I'll probably be done within like maybe 10 or 15 years.
All right.
Because 3 cats in frame is like being struck by lightning twice.
Yeah. You could, I've seen it. You could dress them all
up. Oh, we've done it.
Yeah.
Jessica has photo evidence.
I've seen the one from Cat Hug Day.
Yeah. She's found a way. I couldn't do it.
Massive squeezing.
She knows just where to touch.
Mm.
To lower them. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo was doing the Super Mario today.
They did it hard.
They did. Well, they actually did the Muppets a little bit more than they did the Super Mario.
Oh, man, that was so good.
That was pretty good.
That trumps last Muppets. Year's, like, let's make fun of gamers thing a million times over.
I don't understand them. Like, here's the thing about the Muppets. Like, I don't... Why? I mean, it was amazing, but why?
I don't know. They're like, how else can we transform ourselves into furry animals?
Yep. Well, at least I have Yiffing fantasies for days now.
You do. And Shigeru Miyamoto said he invented it. He invented the Yiff.
I thought that Dylan Cuthbert had a pretty strong hand in making Star Fox.
Nope, it was all Miyamoto.
Okay. Certainly how he made it sound.
Mm-hmm.
The man is amazing at appropriating other people's work. I mean, yeah. I'm sure he was involved heavily in the character creation, but for him to just be like, yeah, I made that game, and not mention the person who made that game, I was like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. That's how that's going to go.
Yeah. The Miyamoto's school of game design seems to be like... Like, I thought it was a joke when it was like, oh, Miyamoto's into gardening now, therefore Pikmin. It's like, nope, that's pretty much accurate. Miyamoto went to a shrine and he liked walking under arches, so therefore Star Fox.
Who doesn't like walking under arches,
When
though?
You see an arch, what do you want to do?
You want to go under it. That's why I actually crawl under any woman's skirt whenever I meet them.
Oh, nice.
It's the arch, man. Why I'm legally obligated to introduce myself to the neighborhood in at least 3 states.
That's why I mean, when McDonald's moved to Japan, Miyamoto sadly gained 140 pounds.
So, Nintendo opened with Star Fox. Fox Zero, which was kind of a silly name, but looks like a pretty fun product. And, lots to talk about here. My first thing I noticed, not episodic anymore, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Or not mini, like many game in one package sort of thing.
Yeah, probably because there's probably not a lot of time left for that Wii U console.
Yeah.
That's certainly what it seems like. What's coming after early 2016? I don't know. Nothing.
Yeah. In stark contrast to the other consoles, there was a lot of stuff announced for 2016 or 15.
There was. I can't comment on the quality of most of that stuff, but let's talk about Star Fox, because that actually looked pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I was excited about everything going on there. I love all the transformations of the R-Wing. I think they're really cool.
Yeah, me too.
The only one I'm not crazy about is the one where the little doodad comes out. The little Rob comes out and walks around.
Oh, the gyrocopter?
I thought that was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
The one where you land on the ground and then, like, a little dude is on, like, a little tether and he walks around. Mm-hmm. But I can be okay with it. But I thought the walker was super cool.
Yeah.
And I guess they claim that that came from Star Fox 2 originally, the game that was canned for the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that looked super great. You were a little skeptical of the motion controls or what?
No, I just don't like them. I'm sure they'll be fine. I just don't don't want to do that.
Fair enough. Hopefully they'll give you other options, but it sure doesn't sound like it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it seems like this is the
they
one
really
way to
were
play.
Leaning hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when he was talking about, like...
What's that, Griffin?
Especially when Miyamoto was saying, like, the button loadouts are... We have so many buttons to deal with, and we have all these extra ones now, so we're going to use them for transformations, and then we're going to use the sticks for loop-de-loops and dogfighting or whatever.
And then we're going to not use the R button and then the L button.
Yeah.
Because that's too many buttons, man.
Yeah, way too many buttons. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you might be shit out of luck if you want to have the kind of alternative, like Splatoon style, reclaim the right analog stick moment.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it because it sounds like it's pretty similar to the Splatoon approach. Sure. And I think that actually has worked pretty well for me. So,
yeah.
Plus, nice big news that came out kind of shortly after the event. Platinum worked on the campaign.
Yeah, they said that during the event.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yep.
The fact that they collaborated with Platinum on this is very interesting. I read a little bit on Kotaku about it. Apparently, Platinum worked a lot on the art design, oddly enough.
Yeah, that's why I said the transformations, it's really strike me as like a very Platinum choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people said they kind of got like Wonderful 101 vibes from the engine, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, yeah.
Yeah. But the other big tidbit, I guess, that came out here is Holiday 2015. So we were both way off on that one.
Now, where did that come from?
It was there.
They
I'm
said
pretty
it
sure.
In Ooh. The trailer?
I think so.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I'll confirm
well,
that.
Yeah. It's entirely possible maybe when it was
yep,
put on
Holiday
YouTube 2015. Or something. Yeah. That they attached a date to it.
You know, it was in. Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought I saw it in the direct, but yeah, it's definitely coming Holiday 2015.
Yeah.
Bummer. So yeah, there's the first 2015 title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We both screwed that one up, but yeah. I'm happy to have messed that one up. I mean, gosh, something from Nintendo is a good thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the first kind of big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Reggie Fils-Aimé came out to deliver a very interesting little speech.
Yeah,
about
really
Nintendo in transformation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How do you feel about that little speech?
I think it was well negotiated. I think he did it quite well. You know, putting the positive spin on it, mentioning all the things that have been discussed in like investors meetings and stuff like that, that, you know, hardcore fans would know are happening. And then him just kind of saying like, this is how things go. Deal with it.
Yeah. He's like, hey, we're making mobile games now.
Yeah.
There's a new game platform coming out next year.
Yeah.
I gotta confess, I'm a little nervous and nothing in this event put my mind entirely at ease, but I don't know. I'm nervous about what the future brings for these guys, because I wasn't expecting them to address the elephant in the room like that and be like, yeah, we're changing. But they were like, yeah, we are changing.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
That's
give
fine.
Me some pause.
That's great. Let's see a little bit more of an adaptable Nintendo.
No, they have to stay the same.
Okay.
They have to make Super Metroid 2, damn it.
Yeah, that's right. Keep those Final Fantasy 7 remakes coming.
Just start making games for Super Nintendo again.
Stop innovating.
Speaking of stopping innovating, the next title they talked about was Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
And I want that game.
Well, I mean, actually, the next title they talked about... Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they did. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Jesus.
I'm sorry. I will... Yeah.
God.
Some dumbass was taking notes and they don't
what
make any
sense.
What's
wrong with you? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They need to step their game up.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I think they just showed a trailer for it though. But it's kind of nice to see that because I feel like there were some question marks that people who are like internet detectives have been able to kind of suss out by like checking the tape like 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
But like having it told to the world that like global sharing is in and all these kind of customizable features and the cool little 100 Mario thing. Did they show that in the trailer itself?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, they showed that.
Yeah.
Well, they showed a bunch of cool little bits. Looking like a really solid game. And then later on, they actually alluded to this, and we can touch on this now, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're going to have some cute little amiibo support going on in terms of like touching your amiibo and getting mystery mushrooms that turn you into different characters like the Wii Fit trainer, just because reasons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I thought was really cute.
I'm assuming that all those little things they used in their interludes will be things. So they had like Marth or Lucina or one of those two things. They had Zelda. So yeah,
really cute. Probably the closest we'll get to like an official Super Mario crossover.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real cute looking game. I'm pretty excited about that thing. You know, we've seen it before, but I think it's coming together really nicely. And like the stuff I saw in Nintendo World Championship combined with, you know, just the stuff they have on display, even in their official trailers, just looks super interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to play around with those tools. Have an open platformer that actually has good physics, you know?
Yeah, right. Ooh, suck it, like, little big planet.
Finally, the day has arrived. So that's going to be a cool title. I'm pretty pumped about that one.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I think this is what you were wanting to talk about. They went into a category that I think was awfully close to what you thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Would you like to take it away on that one?
Yeah, so the next category they threw up in discussion was Amiibo. And Reggie's
Amiibo.
Sitting down with a dude from was it Blizzard Activision?
Vicarious.
Oh, Vicarious.
Vicarious really? Visions.
That's weird.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. They're doing this one. This one's not the Toys for Bob year. He's sitting down with the Skylanders guy. And you know, with the whole times are changing, transformation is the theme. He pulls out two new amiibo that are Mario or Mario, I guess, properties, Nintendo properties, and they are going to be integrated into the Skylanders Superchargers game.
But they're not just amiibo.
They are
more than amiibo.
They are both Skylander and amiibo, a hybrid.
Didn't they have a plot line about this in the X-Files?
Yeah.
With the alien human hybrid.
I was actually too scared to watch that episode. The amiibo were too freaky at that young of an age for me.
Super weird though.
Yeah, super weird. So you have like the characters were Donkey Kong and Bowser. Interesting choices.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely certain. Maybe that's more of a test market thing. Who knows the reasoning behind it?
Well, I think part of it is that they're kind of like anti-heroes. I think they're kind of like, what's the word? They kind of march the beat of their own drum. They're kind of rogue agents. They can kind of do whatever they want. Like, you could expect Bowser to crash your party. I guess you could expect Mario to crash your party, but he's kind of more like a fun-loving dude.
Yeah.
He might not want to hang out with the Superchargers.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I'm
a five-year-old, but yeah.
Jeff, for your next birthday, I'm going to get you a Donkey Kong and Bowser telegram.
No, man, I want Mario at my birthday.
No,
he's a fun-loving dude.
No, this roguish, impish characters who are going to come.
No, I really want Luigi at my party. I just got to have Luigi there.
You're going to get Waluigi.
When is Luigi going to come out?
What do you mean?
Just come out. Just be a gay person.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't be a terrible
or just something to give Luigi some more actual depth. Explain why he's so tortured.
So these two characters, I'm guessing they chose them because they were monstery and they kind of fit within the characters of the Skylanders world. You know,
almost certainly
big,
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of kaiju.
They're big
beasts.
Brutes.
Yeah. So Donkey Kong comes with a barrel blaster, which will be his vehicle, essentially, and Bowser comes with a vehicle that I didn't write down.
It was his clown car.
Clown car. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it ties into the Skylander Supercharger thing where you've got, you know, vehicles and the characters that you play on the pad at the same time. So these Skylanders, you can twist the base and they will become a Skylander or they'll become an amiibo. And the designer, the Vicarious Vision dude, was talking about how they actually approached Nintendo about this a while ago, and Nintendo kind of just said, go make it your own. So he said, you know, Nintendo was very easy to work with and very enjoyable to work with. He's like, we want to do Dry Bones or Koopas or something. And they're like, here, do Dry Bones. Yeah. Take all these assets. So,
well, I like how Reggie was like trying to set himself up as the foil. He was like, now Nintendo are assholes. Right? It must have been really hard to work with them. And then the guy was like, no, actually they're not. And he was like, yeah, I know. I was just setting up the whole thing.
Yeah, knocked it out of the park. So yeah,
that's the advantage of the direct, man.
I think that those look so cool, and what a cool step for Nintendo to take.
Yes, I also think they look really cool, but because they are half Supercharger, half Amiibo, I don't feel like I'm obligated to buy them because they're tainted with the Supercharger.
I see. Okay, yeah, it's, yeah, it's not a pureblood Amiibo.
No.
I will definitely be getting a Bowser, I think, because I've been wanting to get a Bowser for a while, so I want to get the dumbest Bowser.
It's pretty cool, gotta say.
Yeah, I gotta take a closer look at how they actually look. Maybe DK will be cooler. I was furiously writing this stuff down instead of focusing.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they look pretty hot. Very interesting compromise as well, or not compromise, but partnership, because they're both in the Toys to Life, you know, business, so they could position themselves as opponents, but nope.
Yeah.
They decided to work together, so that's really cool.
Absolutely, yeah. And I also view, I would also imagine Nintendo is taking the stance of, like, we do not play in the same space. Like, even though we are both in the Toys to Life, we are not in the same game.
Exactly. Yeah, they can coexist. It's big enough for the both of them. But yeah, after that whole Amiibo bit... Uh-huh. They pivoted and they went to another Four Swords game, except it's Three Swords now.
Yeah, and it's for the 3DS.
Yeah, a little cute. Mm-hmm. So it was Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes was the title of this one.
Yeah.
Designed as a three-player game, kind of in the vein of Four Swords, like I said. I'm sure Grezzo was working on it because they made all the others. The main mechanic seems to be stacking your characters on top of each other and like using the depth of the screen to kind of like perform attacks at different levels and stuff. And then just kind of the classic, you know, Four Sword style adventuring where like one person throws a bomb over a cliff and then he throws it to the next person who throws it to the next one. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, you know, kind of classic at this point, you know, 3-4 person puzzle solving in the Zelda vein.
Yeah.
But not really for me, but.
It does seem like they did a little twist on it where now you have suits, or I think they called them costumes, and it will enable your Link to do a special move, like you'll be able to do the spin sword thing if you're wearing like a samurai outfit or like bomb thing.
And they were pretty cute.
Yeah, they were. I mean, as kind of doofy as it sounds, where it's like, it's a fashion-forward village. It was a nice little gimmick. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's a particularly... momentous title, but some people really care for those four swords types games, and I'm sure they'll be happy about it.
Yeah, and I also think it's easy to kind of look at that trailer and say this looks like rubbish, but once you then put that on the little 3DS screen, I'm sure it'll pop a lot better than it would on like an HD
monitor. Yeah, no, it'll look just like Link Between Worlds. Yeah. I think it'll look fine.
Yep.
My thing is just that I don't really want to only have like just pure puzzling in my Zelda game in big kind of characterless dungeons. Mm-hmm. And that's what I fear with those kinds of games, that they just, the dungeons really kind of lose some of the character that single player dungeons have.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that they always give a single player mode in these games, even if it's a little bit unwieldy to play. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice, but I'll probably skip that one.
The bosses look cool that they showed.
They did, did. Yeah, no doubt. But still, not really something that's super on my radar.
Sure.
Speaking of Zelda titles that aren't super on my radar for 3DS. Mm-hmm. They also announced they are porting Hyrule Warriors to the 3DS. And of course, this was known because the trailer leaked on Koei Tecmo's YouTube page early. Noteworthy additions, just in case anyone missed it. They're adding Wind Waker characters.
Yep.
And the best one is definitely the King of Red Lions, who is a boat.
I'm a boat.
There you go.
It's a totally different song.
He's not just on a boat.
No.
He's not on a boat.
No, he's a boat. I'm a boat.
He is a boat.
I'm a boat, man.
Take a good hard look.
Going fast, Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it. So yeah, that's there.
In my pants.
All right. That's there. Griffin, I think you were like, how many enemies can they fit on screen at once?
Yes. Yeah.
They're going to do some cell shading and probably some pretty significant textural downgrades, but looks to be roughly the same. I mean, you know, we haven't seen any actual gameplay, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. It might be on the Treehouse stream today. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just from a quick view of it, it looks like you can have multiple characters in one battlefield and using the touchpad jump from character to character.
Oh, that's very clever.
Yeah. Because, I mean, previously you would just load out with one guy and you'd have your AI people. Unless I did that wrong for an entire game, it's entirely possible. But I'm fairly certain you would just pick one and go into the world.
I like how they made a point to show the weird blue-haired girl who doesn't have any actual relation to the Zelda continuity.
Yeah.
And it's just the Tecmo lady.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool character to play as, though, honestly. Like, one of the
coolest
ones.
Yeah, she looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
She has the rolling cubes, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, pretty cool. That was
your favorite game, right?
Yeah. So Nintendo, in a bold move, you know, their Blue Ocean strategy, every other company promoting women, putting them front and center, Nintendo decided to eliminate one of its female protagonists in favor of shitty chibi dudes. Going to explore planets in Metroid Prime Federation Force and Blast Ball.
Yeah.
So that Blast Ball game that a lot of people speculated was related to Metroid Prime, the soccer with guns game, is in fact related to Metroid Prime. And now instead of playing as Samus, you do the next level kind of 3DS missions approach to Metroid with co-op. And it looks so dumb.
Yeah. And it looks
so mad about it.
It looks pretty blah. Like, artistically, it looks uninspired. Yeah. I mean, the chibi just does not work in that regard.
No, it doesn't. No. I mean, it looks like they took notes from somebody else, from retro style, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of just missed it. Like, it's a little too bright and happy.
Yeah.
It's not really atmospheric.
Nope.
The chibi is just a disaster. That is my biggest... That's the biggest violation, I feel. In this conference, I mean, I had some issues with this whole direct, but that was the thing that made me the most angry. Just how could, what were they thinking? Who does this satisfy?
Yeah.
I can't think of a certain person, or a single person, rather.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, the thing that they could have, it could have been, hey, we made Blast Ball and we made this other kind of game around it. Let's put the Metroid name on it so at least we'll sell some copies of it.
It kind of feels that way. because I think it would have been better if they just left it as Blast Ball, honestly. Metroid does not need more ill will.
Yeah.
would have been fine if they decided they really wanted to have a first-person Metroid experience on 3DS. I don't know why they would, but if they really wanted that, whatever, provided that you don't go this weird co-op tiny bite-sized mission mode.
There was the
thing.
Metroid Prime Hunters that came out with the DS.
There was.
So it doesn't
and
have
I
zero
actually,
pedigree.
No, I know. I played it and I actually kind of liked it. It's not a terrible game. Mm. It's not a great game, but it's not a terrible game.
No.
But this is not like this.
Yeah. So unhappy sentiments all around for the most part in regards to that, but we should keep moving.
Yes, keep moving. What do they do next, Griff?
Fire Emblem Fates.
Fire Emblem If Eights. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. Fire Emblem I Fates.
Yes. I guess we didn't really learn anything new from this trailer. It was straight up just, you know,
very anime
CG style scenes.
Yeah, and there was
anime scenes.
One or two
for.
Gameplay moments where they had people taking damage or something in a battle.
Yeah, no they grid. Showed a dude using. They showed a dude using an attack that looked completely foreign to me. I didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah,
so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
A lot is already known about this title through Japanese Famitsu interviews and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what was confirmed after the show is we are getting the dual versions.
Oh, so, good, good. And then they did date it as 2016 for the West.
Yeah, I wish they had dated it more specifically than 2016, because yeah. I'm pretty interested in that title. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you feel like the dual versions is good. I thought you wanted maybe to have a better value, like have them both in the same version or something.
Oh, when you said dual versions, I thought it was a dual package.
Like, oh, no.
Okay.
It's the thing you don't want.
Oh, great.
At least I think it is. I'll have to check on that to make sure. But I was reading on Twitter that apparently the two versions have been confirmed.
Mm. Well, even better then. Give journalists something to actually do and recommend me the one to play.
I thought it was give journalists something to complain about.
Well, that's already going to happen.
While giving Pokemon Black and White a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, carte blanche and black.
Yeah, refusing to give them a black mark. And
oh, there it is.
Mark.
Thank you.
There you go. That's how
Thanks
we do
for
it.
For finishing that one up. never mind. So then there was another weird trailer after that that I don't really know what was happening. Not translated. still in Japanese, right?
Hashtag Effie.
That's all we got at the end of all that. It looked like a dating sim.
There were a lot of booby ladies in it,
yeah,
though. You can't deny
sure
that.
It sure did have a lot of booby ladies. It was almost all anime stuff.
Yep.
I think it had some, like,
It had some gameplay.
Some gameplay, but it was like the gameplay where the character is kind of being super stylized and blowing out of the screen.
Yeah, it looked like it was either like special attacks or like lead-ins to big battles or something.
So what the hell was this, Jeff?
This was the Fire Emblem X Shin Megami Tensei project. It looks like each character is going to have like a Fire Emblem guardian from various Fire Emblem games that comes to help them.
Oh.
We saw Crom.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Was the main character's guardian. Kaede, I don't know who Kaede is. She might be from another Fire Emblem title.
Sure.
And then Kane, which I think is also from another Fire Emblem title. So like all these noteworthy Fire Emblem characters are like spirit animals or something.
But what about Marth and Ike?
It's weird because apparently in one of the trailers, people spotted Lin from Fire Emblem 7, I believe, which was the first one which came to the US. Mm. That's the green-haired girl. Did you play the first Fire Emblem in the U.S.? No, you didn't. Well, they spotted her, and she was like a pop idol.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's going to be really kooky in the way that these games cross over, I think. It's going to be very much like, very like kind of inspired by, but not really keeping with any kind of continuity or anything.
Sure.
Just kind of like having a weird, fun time of it.
Yeah. I mean, if it ends
I'm
up
sure
being like,
love it,
like a Shin Megami Tensei-style like battle system where it's three dudes on the screen fighting three monsters on the screen or what have you, that could be all right. I mean, I'm fairly certain they're not going to go the Persona route where you have like a party that you see the characters' stuff. I'm sure it's going to be more of like the classic DS Shin Megami Tensei design where you're like kind of dungeon crawling. And you're just encountering monsters.
One would think if they are crossing over with SMT, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, they kind of, I think, want to position it more Persona-y. Mm. Probably because that would probably do better with the Fire Emblem segment anyway, I think.
Or most gamers in
Don't
general,
you?
Since
I, mean,
I think the Persona name carries more weight than the SMT name.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
By the way, you should rewatch that Persona trailer if you haven't seen it recently. It's literally the same trailer except with now English cards instead of Japanese ones.
Oh.
And it's still super hot. Still super hot.
We'll be happy to watch that trailer over and over again because that music is so good.
It really is. But anyway, this game, it appears to be, I mean, it probably will be more focused on just the kind of dungeon crawly type stuff that you said, Griffin.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a little bit of kind of high schooler socializing type thing. Maybe not social links, but like maybe like cut scenes of them hanging out in
mm-hmm.
Japan
mm-hmm.
or their land that isn't Japan but looks mm-hmm. like Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll actually care about it, but I know you kind of, you might like it, Griffin, because I know you're into Atlas.
Yep.
Stuff.
It also looks so. Like, if it's not a dungeon crawler and it does have a little bit more of like a Persona style combat system, and it has all that crazy, like crazy pop idol nonsense, then hell yeah, I'm in.
I knew you were all about that pop idol bullshit.
Yeah, I say Hatsune me too.
So yeah, it's definitely raising a lot of questions, not really answering much, but it certainly looks interesting.
Yeah.
It looks unlike I think what anyone was expecting from that project.
Absolutely.
But moving right along, we're still on the RPG front here, kind of all clumped together. They dropped release date for Xenoblade Chronicles, just squeezing into the into 2015 on December 4th. The localization team must be working real hard.
Yeah, with the most, with the least amount of fanfare for any game they launched in this event.
Yeah, they showed like a minute long trailer, a lot of cutscenes. Super weird.
Yeah.
But I guess they've talked about it a fair amount, you know, and people are excited for that game. I have a lot of trepidation, but I'm hopeful that it will be cool.
I mean, you can read pretty in-depth impressions about it since it's been out in Japan for months.
Yeah, yeah. I should definitely go deep into that before I make any decisions myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming you're probably passing it by, Griffin.
We'll see.
Well, you'll probably Gamefly it, right?
Yeah, probably. We'll see what... Gamefly notoriously has trouble with Nintendo games, so we'll see what ends up happening.
Okay, well. Yeah, I mean, hopefully that's that kind of maintains some of the... this is the problem with that game, and I've always had this problem. Like, Xenoblade, when you play that game, the characters are goofy and kind of dumb, but they're immediately likable in their goofy dumbness, whereas Xenoblade Chronicles X seems to be taking itself rather seriously just from the get-go. Like, everything is a much more staid affair. And that worries me. I need like goofy over-the-top actors to go with my kind of, you know, to go with that kind of game. I can't have a game like that taking itself super super seriously the whole time. And it seems like it might be doing that, which worries me. I think it's going to lead to a much more boring experience all around. So we'll see, though. But yeah, we don't need to talk about Xenoblade Chronicles X for very long, because they didn't.
Right.
They needed to talk instead about Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which looks pretty cute.
You can get out of the house! You're free! You can leave the house!
You can leave the house. I actually watched them playing this on the stream after the event ended. It looks okay.
Yep.
There's definitely more to it than I initially thought. I will say that. It seems that you actually work for Tom Nook, it appears.
Of course you do.
Yeah, and like your home base is over like at his home renovation store. And yeah, you can do all kinds of design stuff. Clearly it's way more involved than Animal Crossing ever was, like hanging chandeliers from the ceiling, doing the outside of the house, hanging yourself from the ceiling.
Did you just see that now?
I did.
Okay, good.
Anyway, the other big feature of the game is, of course, the amiibo cards, which they showed briefly. And it seems like those are just going to generate villagers with, you know, unique requests. I can't imagine how those things are going to be worth it. You know, the price is probably going to be exorbitant. I mean, you know, it's not going to be huge, but it's probably going to be like $5 for a pack. I imagine they're going to be blind packs, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
which is a lot of money.
You're not going to be able to get those like pack whispers like you had with like Disney Infinity, and who could like feel up the pack, or the Nintendo, or the like Lego minifigs. They can feel them up and they're like, oh, this is the one I need. Because they're cards. They're flat. There's
no, it's not going to be like that. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm guessing probably like, you know, $5 or $6 for three cards. I mean, even if you can reuse those cards, which apparently you can't, like getting new requests, that's a lot of money for an experience that's ultimately kind of hollow. And I would hope, I guess, that whatever the base game is, that there's a lot of compelling content there, because I don't think the amiibos alone are enough to support this thing. I mean, that's a lot of money to just throw at one game about decorating homes. And that's kind of what that's kind of the start of what worries me about whatever Nintendo's transformation is going to be. This feels a little scummy for them.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it's a little early to say for sure, but I was a little bit put off by it.
I mean, I wouldn't say scummy. I'd just say it seems a little half-hearted. Like, there are some things that seem cool about it, just maybe not, again, like you said, not like this.
Exactly, yeah.
Putting it in a box, pricing it the way they're pricing it, it just feels confused. I don't want to say Nintendo's bad yet. I just want to say, like, they may need to rethink that one.
They may. And let's see how it does. Let's see what the sales numbers look like. Let's see what people's impressions of this title are. I mean, you know, it's a little early to know for sure, but it definitely, seeing kind of the more fleshed out concept, didn't make me feel any better. So I don't know. And kind of keeping on the Animal Crossing front, kind of with kind of disturbing developments, the Animal Crossing Wii U title, which I thought would just be an Animal Crossing title, was a Mario Party clone.
Yeah, so those amiibo had, an image of the amiibo had leaked, and they were the you know, Animal Crossing characters. So
yeah, the kind of the noteworthy characters.
It would have, you know, thought was maybe there's going to be the Animal Crossing for the Wii U that's bound to happen. But
you
sadly
would have thought wrong.
No.
Because instead it's a board game.
Because
there wasn't enough of those already.
Yeah. Hey, we hear you like to party. How about a festival?
Oh, Mario Party 10 came out this year? Oh, really? We released that game? What are you talking about?
That wasn't us. I don't know who you're
talking about. Two board games in 1 year is fine.
Listen, Tom Nook Amiibo.
The Tom Nook Amiibo is kind of cute.
Oh, they're all damn cute, but I mean,
yeah, I'm not gonna buy this.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Now here's the question, Jeff.
Yes,
if this game looks a little paltry, like it looks like an even lighter Mario Party.
Yes, to me it actually looks kind of fun. It looks, I'm actually kind of entranced by it in a weird, perverse way. But go on.
How many amiibo packed into the game will it take for you to buy it?
Well, I know there are four packed in, so...
Oh, you get all four with the game?
Well, there are more than four, but there are four packed in, as I understand it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting, because I was going to say, it would make sense if they put all four with the game, thus damning everybody to pay full price for this.
I know, and that's the thing. That's how they're gonna undermine my idea that they'd be releasing a budget title. Yep. It's going to be a freaking bundle.
Yep. Just like how Chibi Robo is going to be a $40 game, whereas it should be a $10 game.
Yep. Yep. Real clever, Nintendo.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great way to make up for the fact that their offerings are somewhat threadbare by just releasing amiibo with everything.
Oh, well said. And speaking of threadbare.
Oh, God, I really set you up for that one. Go ahead.
Yoshi's Woolly World trailer is featuring the...
That woman, I felt really bad for her.
Yeah. Featuring she was a woman who was stuck in 1940s Japan.
The woman, I just said a woman with low self-esteem. She was just like, I can't program or draw. I don't know why I'm here.
I took it this way. She was like, I can't fight or make bombs, so I am going to fold origami cranes for the troops.
I can help too, guys.
Yeah.
I just felt like she felt terrible about herself as a human being, and then was like, here, take this Yoshi I crocheted for you. And they were like, well, take it.
Yeah.
And then she found a sense of purpose again.
Yeah, it was a cute little bit. I really actually enjoyed it. Little personal story that they crafted there.
No, I liked it. I appreciate that. Actually, going back to the women thing for a second, Nintendo has kind of been featuring female members of the dev teams, and her story was interesting, and I liked their conversation about Poochie and how adorable Poochie is, because Poochie's freaking adorable.
He is adorable.
But sorry, Griff, you were going to say a thing, I think.
The little diorama they made was very adorable, too.
Oh, I don't think I saw the diorama.
Yeah, it was all the other stuff that they had that were made, like the yarn shy guys, all the other stuff that they made, their yarn things. shown at the beginning of that thing.
They should have said, we made the decision to spare your wallets by not releasing these things.
Yeah, well, speaking of not releasing things, they still haven't put a goddamn date on Yarn Yoshi.
Yes, they have.
What?
October 16th.
Wait, the amiibo?
Bro. Oh, that thing.
I don't give a shit about this game. I do. I will not play it. I will give me a copy. I will burn that piece of crap. Fuck Yoshi and his dumb island. I am in it for the adorable ass Yarn Yoshi amiibo.
I will admit,
it's gonna be my Tickle Me Elmo. I will trample a goddamn human to get that.
I will admit, Yarn Yoshi, it looks like it's kind of stuck between Epic Yarn and Yoshi's Island, and I'm not sure it's gonna be cute and charming in the way that either of those two things were, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I think I really liked Epic Yarn. I really liked the original Yoshi's Island and only that one. Mm-hmm. So I want to try. But yeah, that amiibo is pretty cute. I'm sure it's gonna be day and date with the game. That's how they usually do these things.
Makes sense. I mean, since it has gameplay component functionality.
No, it doesn't. It's only there to please you, Griffin.
It pleases me.
Are you going to get them all, or are you going to get just one color?
No, I'm going to get the green Yoshi, the only Yoshi there is. And then if I can't, I'll get a blue Yoshi and get little sunglasses for it.
So you can deal with it?
No, so it can be Boshi.
Oh, okay.
The only other Yoshi that actually exists.
Aren't there other Yoshis in Mario
they
World?
Could all go die.
I mean, RPG. Aren't there multiple Yoshis in Mario RPG?
Yeah,
there
but
are.
None of them are Boshi.
I had no idea. You felt so strongly about Yoshi coloring.
I think I went on a rant about a year ago when Amiibo was first pitched about how I want a Boshi Amiibo so bad.
Yeah, I'm sure there is a custom Boshi. I'm gonna look it up right now.
I want that custom trash. Mint in box.
Oh man. Oh, yep, he's there, dude. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna send you some links later.
Okay, great.
You'll be real excited.
Excellent.
Anywho, so yeah, they gave a date on that one, October 16th. You know, it's a weird year when that has to be one of the marquee titles, I feel like.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Remember when Kirby Epic Yarn came out? I mean, God, that thing was announced with little fanfare, then came out, I think, that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sleeper hit.
Yeah, critically beloved.
Yeah, really fun game. I had a great time playing it. But mm-hmm. This game, I mean, the lead up to this title, it's like, how do you hype a game like this that much? Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho. Moving right along, we heard about Level 5's Yo-Kai Watch.
Yay!
I was really excited for a brief moment because I thought that they were going to be announcing a new game, and then it was Yo-Kai Watch.
No, no new games. Bring Yo-Kai Watch.
I'm okay with Yo-Kai Watch because we've never played it before.
A haunted capture machine.
I don't know. So is the part where you're capturing the yokai, is that just straight up scan the environment? Like,
yeah.
Here's a static image and you click it?
Uh-huh. Actually, I honestly don't know a lot of the details on how that works. Like, I don't know if it involves, like, scanning stuff in real life at all, or if it's location involvement or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like an interesting mechanic, though, where you have all three yokai on a watch and you spin the dial and you get certain... I don't know. It looks like Pokemon with an interesting new twist.
I hope so. I mean, it's been a huge phenomenon in Japan, so they must have done something right.
Yeah.
But, that trailer didn't really tell me exactly what the game flow would look like, even though I think it tried. So I need to see like an actual like solid 20 minutes of that game.
Sure.
Being played or so before I actually understand what's going on.
Well, you probably could have, since this is Yo-Kai Watch 1 and there are 1, 2, 3, if not 4 out in Japan.
Yeah. So, I want the Ghostbusters one, man.
Yeah. Blatant ripoff.
That looks
the game.
So cool.
It does.
I know.
Oh, man.
Anyway. Speaking of awesome looking games.
Oh, baby.
That Mario and Luigi Paper Mario crossover is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that means one of those franchises is going to die.
Yeah.
But it's super logical in a sense, and it's like both super logical and super super zany.
Yeah.
And I'm loving what I've seen of it. I watched a little bit of live streaming of it, and it looks really fun. They're gonna be paper versions of all the enemies, and they seem to have different physics associated with them for dodging them, mm-hmm. and like different characteristics in terms of how they take damage. Mm-hmm. Like when they take damage, different like reefs of paper fall off of them. It's mm-hmm. really cool. And it looks to be more leaning towards, I think, Mario and Luigi style play, which I'm okay with. I haven't really explored Paper Mario too much before.
It's probably you a have, good right, thing. Well, I should say, just compared to Sticker Star, with the decision that they made with the stickers and that, like how the items become just like so throwaway, but absolutely necessary at the same time. I think that was that game's biggest fault. But yeah, the Paper Mario games have very much to do with timing and party members and like it's kind of your classic Mario. Yeah, they both like kind of diverged at some fork in the road, and one way went Paper Mario and the other way went Mario and Luigi.
Think of it this way. It's like the convoluted Metal Gear Solid timeline with the death of Big Boss.
Yeah.
Mario and Luigi in Paper Mario are trying to carry on the will of Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm.
They each have their own interpretation. But anyway, it looks super fun. Yeah. The subtitle is Paper Jam, which is adorable, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Paper Bowser and Bowser having insult contests with each other is great.
Yep. Everything about that game just looks great.
Utterly charming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And hopefully it'll make up for the fourth entry in that series, which was pretty mediocre, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And yet another prediction that I pulled out of nowhere to miss just enough for it to not count.
I don't know. You predicted Paper Mario, right?
Yeah, I said Paper Mario for the Wii U with scannable amiibo.
Oh, that was close. You know, I feel like there were like bits and pieces that were like almost on the money, like the 8-bit Mario, which we actually didn't talk about yet because it's coming later. By the way, I need that thing in my life.
Oh, that amiibo? Yeah.
Anyway, though, yeah, that game, Paper Jam, looks super cool. Really excited for that to come out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And moving right along, we can get to the next title, mm-hmm. Which was
Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis Ultra Smash!
Ultra Smash!
they showed the trailer and they were like, here's Mario Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up a Mega Mushroom now.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything else shown there other than that.
A lot of legs.
There were a lot of legs.
Then Peach Gams. Mm.
People were sad about the lack of Rosalina on NeoGAF. Because of course they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Mario Tennis has always been pretty fun.
Yep.
I probably won't buy that game. But there it is. Moving right along. They did some 30th anniversary Mario stuff, and they showed some really awesome concept sketches and a glimpse into the level design process, which I thought was absolutely fascinating.
Me too. I could listen to that all day.
I know, right? Just how they would draw the levels on graph paper, and then instead of redrawing the levels or correcting the levels like on the paper, they would take translucent sheets of paper and put them on top of it. It was mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. Yep. And then just some kind of discussion of like game design and like
yeah, Miyamoto's
kind of stuff that was already
game
known.
Design 101.
Yeah,
1-1.
But really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of making a case for why Nintendo is still a relevant player, because uh-huh. they understand this stuff just innately.
Yeah.
But yeah, right after that, they talked a little bit more about Mario Maker, and I guess this is when they debuted that the Mystery Mushrooms turned you into different amiibo, which we touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
And they also debuted that amazing 8-bit Mario, which apparently is quite big.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like 2 to 3 times the size of a regular amiibo.
Would you say it's approximately $25 big?
Is that how much it costs?
Oh, I have no idea. I was just, you know, throwing a number out there.
I don't know. It's super cute, though. And apparently mm-hmm. it comes in 2 variants.
Neat.
And I should find out if it's available for pre-order now. Ah!
You're too late. They've also
done. But yes, they probably have.
It was a Babbage's exclusive.
The game also comes with a... Yeah. They also announced that the game came with a pretty cool little booklet, which I didn't really understand what was going on with that, but it had some neat little pictures in it. Mm-hmm. And is that going to be packed in with every title?
What? The booklet?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there. But yeah, that was pretty much the whole thing. Really nothing. I mean, they talk about some Best Buy crap with, you know, you can play Mario Maker tomorrow if you want.
Yeah.
And then they ended with a really dumb Mario montage,
mm-hmm.
which was just so cheesy. They upped the family photo game to a family video game.
They did. Nintendo trumps all.
Yes. and they launched their Let's Super Mario.
Yep.
Donation/video collection machine.
Mm-hmm.
So there that was. But yeah, it was a pretty spare direct, I thought. And Griffin, you were on record right afterwards saying that you were really excited about this thing, and I want to hear your reasoning. Because I was not.
I had a great time watching it. I mean, I guess it was more of less devotion to Nintendo and having expectations shattered. It was more of just like, yay, fun games. I just felt really good. Like Mario Tennis. I've been playing Mario Tennis for the Mario Tennis Advance for the last couple months because I just like it. And the fact that they're doing Mario Tennis for Wii U, it's like, oh great, that's so great. And Paper Mario, the Paper Jam game looked just so freaking great. And I just am so happy about all the things that they showed.
It's good that you have that outlook.
It is good. It feels great.
I'm happy about the games. I'm happy about Logjam, Paper Jam, whatever it's called. I think it looks super, super great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just wish they had brought a tiny bit more. Yeah. Like, I just think that, you know, if they want to turn their fortunes around, this is not the recipe for it. You know, it's like, what do they have here that really, you know, upped their game, that really did anything exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the Muppets were adorable. You can't deny that.
Right. The whole presentation just left me feeling happy. And then I know, you know, the silly montage was silly, but it was also, like, very cute. And it was so nice, like, watching this after all the press conferences that had happened so far, where I was just, like, getting down on like, the whole video game machine. And just watching this, I was like, oh, good. I just feel refreshed and happy about stuff. And just kind of like filling my tank on the joy of what can just be fun video games.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Nintendo does. I mean, they are, you know, they're the palate cleansers of the video game world. I mean, they, you know, they give you the fun, joyful experiences. I guess for me, I didn't have that experience as much this time, which is a bummer. Last year, I definitely felt that way. Like, I think last year, even though what they showed wasn't really earth-shattering, it was just really nice. It was like a fun place to hang out for 45 minutes. This time, it didn't feel that way for me. Like, there were moments that were adorable. I thought the Muppets were really cute. Certainly some gif-able moments in there. But taken as a whole, you know, I was just really super underwhelmed by the whole thing. You know, I'm not going to flip my shit. But just really not anything to really, you know, get me excited about this brand and Nintendo and just, you know, like, oh my gosh, Nintendo is, you know, blazing new frontiers or showing me new fun things. It was just kind of like Nintendo is showing me things that I expect and absolutely nothing more.
Yeah. well, now, also, we should briefly talk about the Nintendo Direct that happened on Sunday in regards to the Smash Brothers announcements.
Yeah, those are pretty cool, even though they were all known. Have we not talked about those yet?
No.
Okay, we can... can touch on them real quick.
Yeah, real quick.
So the big announcements, a couple new characters. Two more new characters, Roy and Ryu, both joining the game. Obviously Ryu is the big deal because he is totally unique in the world of Smash Brothers in that he can actually do his original moves and they work.
Yep.
And that's super cool. Have you downloaded him, Griff?
I have not, no.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay.
Nope, as in no. I have not, no.
Yeah,
looks good. They spend plenty of time discussing that, you know, Smash Bros. Is a two-button game, or did they say that? 2-button?
Yes, 2-button game. And Street Fighter is a 6-button game.
3, so yeah. They have to make up that difference somehow, and they do it in the form of like touch speed and holding of the button presses and all that stuff and how that will output different moves.
He sounds intimidating to me, like highly technical, beyond what I want to deal with. But I appreciate that he's there. Apparently, he's actually quite good, like maybe top 15 characters. And that's good in a game with that size roster.
Mm-hmm. It's got two super moves.
Very cool addition. One of his original inputs, his moves are actually more powerful, which is super cool.
Oh, yeah, true. Like I think you actually called this where you said if you do a Hadouken classic motion, you'll do that. But now you can just do the regular press or you can do the classic motion for additional power.
Yeah, well, I quote unquote called it, but I already knew it because it had been leaked. So it wasn't that I wasn't bringing anything new that time. But yeah, no, it's a very interesting little addition. You know, having him benefit from doing his original inputs, kind of rewarding. It's funny because it kind of comes on the heels of Sakurai reiterating once again that he feels like competitive play is kind of a waste. And then they put out Ryu with his like, oh, put in the original inputs for more damage. Mm-hmm. You know, you can auto cancel out of.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Because this doesn't seem like the things you like in Smash.
Yeah, that was but, a weird decision there. But I mean, cool at the same time.
It is cool. I mean, I think what's super cool is like they were showing off all the Virtua Fighter costumes.
Yeah.
And then they showed off a Heihachi costume. Uh-huh. And it's like all the fighting games from the PS1 era all coming together. Under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
Where else could that happen but in Smash Brothers? Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a cool. I mean, yeah, it was a cool thing. They had, you know, like you said, they also talked about additional costumes, both for fighting games and not fighting games. Like there's a Zero thing. The kind of bummer side of this is it's everything costs probably $1 more than it should.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to justify paying like $4 for a character if you just want for one version, or $5, or even $6 if you want to get Ryu on both platforms.
Mm-hmm.
When your roster is 51 characters,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of speaking, dilutes the value of any individual new character.
Yeah, and speaking of the 51 character roster, they did confirm that they will be pushing out the rest of the amiibo line by the end of the year.
Did they say that?
I thought they said September.
The rest of the amiibo they have in the pipeline, not the rest of all the amiibo.
Okay,
right?
I could have misheard. It's definitely possible.
Or maybe they'll be done then. I don't know. I haven't really been. I don't know the number.
Yeah,
maybe they will be. I have quite a few sitting around.
The
already, so.
The only thing that they didn't put in that last image, besides the new characters, of course, was Falco. He was the only one that was not pictured in that grouping, that final grouping. With Duck Hunt and Rob, and
they mentioned it.
They mentioned it, but they don't. They did not have a Falco character amiibo shown.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. No. I don't know. I'll check it out. Oh no, he's there. He's there, dude.
Okay, I'm wrong. Well, at the time, he was not pictured
anyway,
in that
though,
image.
Yeah. Also, Mii Fighters to jump forward.
Yeah, if you were not paying enough for you or collecting them all, you can get three extras you don't want.
Yeah. Not sure if I want to collect any fighters. It's going to be a real bitter pill to swallow on that one.
Hey, what do you think? Retailer exclusive? Each retailer gets a Mii Fighter?
Oh my god. If I'm lining up for a Mii Fighter, just like end of my life.
Okay. I'll send you a rope for your Animal Crossing ceiling.
So yeah, all told, Nintendo this year, I wasn't super impressed. I'm glad that it could have the kind of rejuvenating effect that Nintendo so often has for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. I'm glad it helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, not my favorite show, personally.
Yeah, understandable. Notable absences. What the hell? Nothing even briefly talked about for the new 3DS.
Nope, not a word.
Not a single thing.
Purchase justified.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be able to play Xenoblade on it, But I am a fringe case upon fringe cases. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to be pretty miffed about that one. No Mother 3, which, I mean, you know, they just released the other ones, so it makes sense for them to kind of space it all out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, another acknowledgement would probably set a lot of minds at ease. Nothing new, nothing that we didn't know about, basically, in terms of, you know, Wii U titles, I mean, other than the Amiibo Party Land. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of stuff that wasn't talked about, no mention of Zelda, although we knew that, you know, pretty barren, all told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But
any,
still a fun show to watch. So worthwhile checking out.
Yeah. At least watch the Muppet segments, 'cause they're super cute and mm-hmm. people are going to make all kinds of gifts of that stuff.
Oh yeah. There's good stuff there.
So,
but yeah, that covers it for Nintendo of E3 2015. I guess we'll wrap it up in the final segment whenever that happens.
Square Enix. Matt, speaking of ridiculous conferences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, let's wrap this one for now, and we'll get to Square Enix at a later point.
Okay. How about instead, let's Super Mario?
Yes? You called for me? If I let you go back the way that I thought I might go today, and I, oh, if I let you inside my mind.